Scientists do not always unite themselves in their recommendations to the makers of policy. This is only partly because of scientific disagreements. It is even more because the big issues so often go beyond the possibilities of exact scientific determination. As science of necessity becomes more involved with itself, so also of necessity it becomes more international.
Climate change has been a tug-of-war issue for years. Back in October, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change vehemently warned that we have just 12 years to implement their sustainable goals, or the Earth is doomed.
They said we are looking at an unprecedented amount of carbon, at least in the last 800,000 years.
Meanwhile, anyone questioning the science is throttled by totalitarian threats.
Paul Dreesen, Senior Policy Analyst with Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, CFACT, CFACT.org is the website. A climate change denying website is on the line with us. Paul, why should you not be in jail? I mean, that is a serious question. You're taking money to deceive the public in a way that's killing people.
Over the weekend, as the AP reported, the National Climate Assessment was written long before the deadly fires in California this month and before hurricanes Florence and Michael raked the East Coast and Florida. It says warming-charged extremes have already become more frequent, intense, widespread, or of long duration. Warming-charged extremes. But who did this research? Are they credible, or are they connivers for the United Nations carbon tax scam? As the Daily Caller reported, the scientists who wrote the National Climate Assessment used unreliable information that exaggerates the risks global warming poses. University of Colorado professor Roger Pilkey Jr. noted in a series of tweets. He fears the report will make it easier for critics to dismiss future climate studies, tweeting, "By presenting cherry-picked science at odds with NCA Volume 1 and IPCC AR5, the authors of NCA Volume 2 have given a big fat gift to anyone who wants to dismiss climate science and policy. Embarrassing." Pilkey Jr. continues, "People are not dumb. Climate change is real and deserves policy response, but not like this." Earlier this week, President Trump tweeted about the cold weather hitting the East, saying, "Brutal and extended cold blasts could shatter all records. Whatever happened to global warming?" This sent the mainstream media into a tailspin.
In a statement, the White House said the new report was largely based on the most extreme scenario, which contradicts long-established trends.
It's going to require reducing carbon emissions and eventually, sooner rather than later, to zero. And if we don't do that, you're going to see these fires not only continuing, but getting worse.
But the president is echoing data that has been available to mainstream media throughout 2018. As Aaron Brown at Real Clear Markets discovered, the 2016 to 2018 big chill was composed of two little chills, the biggest five-month drop ever, February to June 2016, and the fourth biggest, February to June 2017. A similar event from February to June 2018 would bring global average temperatures below the 1980s average. February 2018 was colder than February 1998. If someone is tempted to argue that the reason for recent record cooling periods is that global temperatures are getting more volatile, it's not true. The volatility of monthly global average temperatures since 2000 is only two-thirds what it was from 1880 to 1999. Add to that, evidence from NASA reveals that the Earth is entering a solar minimum, basically a low point in sunspot activity, and the growing possibility of what has been known as the Maunder minimum, which would drive temperatures below the average and could produce a mini ice age.
The sun is a seething mass of activity, until it's not. Every 11 years or so, sunspots fade away, bringing a period of relative calm. This is called solar minimum, says Dean Pesnell of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and it's a regular part of the sunspot cycle. Pesnell says that during solar minimum,
the full John Bowne report can be found at Infowars.com. Today is big. Every day is big. We turn a new leaf. The clocks of history continue to move forward, and we're going to try to break it all down here in the next 3 hours on The War Room at Infowars.com/show. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Infowars.com War Room. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. My co-host, who will be missed gravely today, Roger Stone, is not with us. But that does provide me some breathing room today and some space to allow us to take calls from you with what you think is going on. But I was really charged up yesterday. I was on information overload. My engines got a little revved up. And I wasn't able to get things out as clearly as I think I wanted to. But we're going to try to take a breath today and hear from you. But yesterday, what was the big story here on the War Room? President Trump tweeting out that there's going to be heroes that come from this. It's not going to be Robert Mueller. The way his team has treated people is vicious. It will be exposed. So yesterday you had President Trump on Twitter signaling, hey, Mueller's the bad guy here. There are good guys. You don't know who they are yet, but we're going to expose the crimes of the fake Russian collusion witch hunt. And then what happens today? President Trump retweets a meme from Trump Train. I'm not sure if that was the original creator of this meme, but that was the retweet from President Trump. The meme is a jail cell behind the bars, Mueller, Podesta, Rosenstein, Obama, Holder, Clinton, Lynch, Comey, Clapper, Aberdeen, and Clinton with the phrase, now that Russian collusion is a proven lie, when do the trials for treason begin? Retweeted by President Trump this morning. Front page of Drudge Report all day. What comes next? And I'm in an interesting position because I just say I do play-by-play for everyday events and occurrences in America. A lot of people are seeing this right now and they're saying, oh yeah, we've heard that, same song and dance, nothing's going to happen. Other people are seeing that and they're saying, wow, finally we're going to have the military tribunals, finally the deep state's going to be arrested and we're going to drain the swamp. Well, only time will tell. However, the fact that President Trump retweets that meme means something. Means something. So what do you think it means? What do you think it means that President Trump says there will be heroes and that the tactics, the vicious tactics of the Mueller special counsel will be exposed? And then he retweets an image of the deep state cabal behind bars. What does all of that mean to you? We're going to take your calls. In fact, I'll just open up the phone line in the first hour because you know what? I'm already on information overload today. And I'm going to cool my jets before I even lift off today to avoid myself ranting and raving like I did yesterday. So I'm going to go ahead and just open up the phone lines now and we'll start aggregating your calls. And I'll just take your calls for pretty much the whole 3 hours today. What do you think it means that in the last 48 hours, President Trump has basically put out all the signals via his own Twitter, we're coming after the deep state, they're criminals, there are American heroes, these are amazing times. But what does it mean to you? Do you buy it? Do you think something big is coming? Do you think we'll see Obama arrested? Do you think we'll see Clinton behind bars? Is it all just a pipe dream? There is a bunch of news. Again, I've got tons of news, tons of huge video clips I want to get to. But unfortunately, with Roger Stone out, would have been a great guest to have on today. He's dealing, obviously, with some serious stuff right now, unable to come on. Maybe we'll be able to get him on before the end of the broadcast, but he's taking care of some business behind the scenes right now. So that does allow me some breathing room to cover some more news and to take your phone calls. So I'm just going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. I didn't tell the crew I was going to do this, but let's just start go ahead and aggregating calls now. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. Now, what are some of the headlines that we'll be covering? Hyde-Smith wins the Senate runoff. What does that mean? How did the fake news respond? Nancy Pelosi remains Speaker of the House, now Majority Speaker, to be in January. Nancy Pelosi, you should have seen her speech today. Maybe the crew will roll some B-roll. I mean, my God. The optics of this thing, this is a total fumbling dingbat who is, quite frankly, probably suffering from dementia, who is standing up there giving her acceptance speech today like she doesn't even know where she's at. Like, looking around confused, like plastic face. I mean, it's bad. Top House committee reviewing Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's testimony for false statements. I don't think anything will come of that. Obviously, what's going on at the border is still an issue. Yeah, there it is right there. Oh, my gosh. I mean, seriously, like, that is just awful looking. My God. Okay, what, were you just in a negative 3-degree windstorm for 24 hours, Nancy? Because your face looks like it. Wow. Then I've got a whole stack of just leftist madness that's going on right now. We'll have a laugh at that. Just absolute craziness. And then some worldwide craziness. And also, I do have one guest scheduled for today. Badass Uncle Sam is... Oops, I silenced myself. Badass Uncle Sam is going to be joining us at 4:06. Michael DeBarry is his name. He has a YouTube channel. You've probably seen his videos. He goes out on the streets of New Orleans dressed as Uncle Sam, does a live video, has props out there, gets a lot of interesting, you know, clips and sound bites. Well, now they've banned him from even going live on the streets of New Orleans. So now they're actually censoring the 3D world. Unbelievable. So we'll talk with Michael DeBarry about that, and we're already aggregating your phone calls, so I'll be peppering in phone calls throughout the day, covering all the news, and our guest coming up at 4:06. So before we go to this quick break, though, we have massive specials going on at InfoWarsStore.com. So Cyber Monday wasn't really enough for us, and so we just made it Cyber Week. So Cyber Week at InfoWarsStore.com. This includes 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements. 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements. So you've heard of Brain Force. You've heard of Survival Shield X3. You've heard of Knockout Sleep Aid. You've heard of Super Male, Super Female Vitality. You've heard of Bodies. You've heard of Vitamin Mineral Fusion. You've heard of Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste. You've heard of Alpha Power. You've heard of all the great products, all the great InfoWars Life supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, they are all 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. The big special, 50, or I guess actually we, did we, no, it's still $127 right now. That is an unbelievable price for the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. If you're not filtering your water, folks, I'm really not sure why not. This is basic health right here. This is common sense. Filter your water with the Alexa Pure Pro from InfoWarsStore.com. And we are already placing a limit on the numbers that you can order right now because we have a very limited stock. So I think we've got a couple hundred of these left at $127 a piece, which is the best deal on a water filter you're ever going to find. So take advantage of that. And then with free shipping, you're also saving more money. That's a heavier item, kind of bulky, and not cheap to ship. Well, we're taking care of shipping costs, too, as a part of Cyber Week. And it's not even done there. Double Patriot points. Did you know when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com, you get Patriot points that can go towards future purchases? That's right. Double Patriot points right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And I'd be remiss if I didn't let you know that you have now 3 days left. 3 days left to use coupon code WARROOM to get your InfoWars hoodie. Your brand new InfoWars hexagon logo hoodie. $10 off with coupon code WARROOM. The zip up or the pullover, both $10 off at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM. And because it's Cyber Week, free shipping store wide. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and support the InfoWars.
Infowars.com/show.
got loaded phone lines. I've got stacks of news. And I've got space to breathe today. So I'm going to slow down, take a breather, and we're going to hear from your phone calls. My question to the callers today, and it seems like pretty much everyone is right on board with the topics today, so I think we can probably keep this one focused. So I see Elena there wants to talk about something else. I'll take your call, Elena, but I really want to keep it focused today with the audience. What does it mean to you? What do you think it means? Yesterday, Trump signals that Mueller's about to be exposed. That was the headline of yesterday's broadcast. And then today, Trump retweets the photo of Obama and Holder and Clinton and Podesta and Mueller and Rosenstein and others behind bars. What does that mean to you? So we're going to take your phone calls. Before I do that, though, I have to get into some of this news just so I can put it behind me. And I've got great videos that we're going to get to as well. Former President Obama gave a speech yesterday. You are going to want to hear some of these sound bites. Shocking stuff. Man, I'm really upset. Of course, Roger Stone, my co-host, normally would be on with me right now, but one of the biggest news stories right now, but he's dealing with some stuff. He was on with Laura Ingraham last night. Jerome Corsi was on with Tucker Carlson last night. I thought both of them did a great job, and it's just amazing. Here we are, right in the middle of all of it. But here's some of the news stories before I get to your calls. Hyde Smith wins the runoff election, and pretty soundly, but once again, InfoWars is the tip of the spear. InfoWars puts on the sunglasses because she won by, I think it was 8 percentage points, 7 percentage points, something like that. The last three big elections like this, the Republican candidate won by at least 14 percentage points. You see what happens there. So the Democrats tried their damnedest to steal this one, but unfortunately, 20,000, 30,000 illegal votes were not able to pull this one off, and Hyde Smith wins. But Jack Posobiec does what he does so well, points out how mainstream news runs with a planned talking point or planned buzzword or planned catchphrase to make things catch on. And today it was racially charged. So Posobiec tweeted out all the images of all the different news sources, NPR, CNN, yada, 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 saying, Hyde Smith wins racially charged. It's all racially charged, just as we told you they would do 2 days prior. Nancy Pelosi has remained now the leader of the House, and she will be the Speaker of the House, the Majority Speaker, when the 116th Congress is sworn in January. She gave her victory speech, if you will, today. And if the crew would so oblige to show that B-roll one more time. Yes, is Nancy Pelosi as the Democrat Speaker of the House probably bad for the Democrat Party and probably good for Trump getting reelected in 2020 and actually even Republicans probably getting more votes in 2020 as well, of course. What is your vote count? The Democrats have the machines rigged anyway. However, that's not the one. It's the one with her in the blue dress. But regardless, she gives out. She comes out and yeah, that's the one. I mean, she just, folks, this is a woman that does not belong anywhere but at home, okay? Go sit on the dock of a lake. Go sit in a rocking chair. Go spend time with your grandkids. You should not be the Speaker of the House. You don't look well. You're not all there. But that's what the Democrats give you. And they're trying to give you even more now. Hillary Clinton is campaigning for Barrow for Georgia. It's like these people don't even get it yet. By the way, the Bill and Hillary Clinton book tour, which just kicked off at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. See if you guys can pull up some B-roll of this. Empty. The arena was empty. Folks, I'm not talking about like some empty seats here and there. I'm not talking about like half filled. I'm talking like empty. I'm talking like five people in each section. Like, you could shout and from one end of the arena to the other and talk to each other. Totally empty. Yeah, that Bill and Hillary tour is not going to be so successful. Yeah, guys, scroll down to the bottom of that and you'll find all the images. Just scroll real quick to those images. Totally empty. Look at that. Totally empty. Oh, and by the way, Hillary couldn't even finish a statement. She had to excuse me. Hillary was trying to make a point, but she could Hillary was going to talk about the All right, I shouldn't be laughing. She's a sick old lady who Trump tweeted out an image of behind bars today. But she tweets out today a runoff election in Georgia for the next Secretary of State. So the Democrats are trying to steal this one. And she says, Georgians deserve a Secretary of State who will administer elections fairly and make it easy for every eligible citizen to vote. What does that mean? Let's translate that. Georgia, the Democrats need a Secretary of State that is going to ensure they steal every election in the future because Kemp beat Abrams. And we used everything we could to get Abrams in. She got about 20,000 illegal votes. We had them bringing in ballots. We had them recount ballots. We had them try to hack the election machine. We couldn't get it done, so we just need to make sure we get someone in there who will make sure we get it done. So there you go, Georgia. Make sure Barrow does not get in. And in almost the same vein as President Trump's tweets, which I'm going to go to your phone calls in the next segment to get your thoughts on them. Top House committee reviewing Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's testimony for false statements. Well, look, it's been well documented that Dorsey and Zuckerberg and Sandberg and all of these other yuppies from YouTube and Facebook and Google, if they were under oath, which most of the time they weren't even under oath, but they would be so ambiguous as to avoid any potential perjury. When they were not under oath, I think that they lied through their teeth multiple times. That's well documented. But does it matter? Which is, again, my question of the day to the audience. And this is just a side note. I don't necessarily need your opinion on this. I don't expect anything to come of Jack Dorsey. A top house committee could review Jack Dorsey's behavior and determine, yes, he lied, yes, he engaged in censorship, and nothing's going to happen anyway. But we go to the phone calls in the next segment. What do you think about President Trump's tweets? Yesterday, calling out Mueller and the gang of corrupt Democrats and the phony witch hunt. Today, tweeting out an image of Obama and Podesta and Mueller and Aberdeen and Clapper and Comey and Clinton and Holder and Lynch behind bars. What does it mean to you? We go to your phone calls on the other side. This is The War Room. We'll be right back. Infowars.com/show.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, tons of news and videos to give you here in the next 2.5 hours of this live transmission at Infowars.com/show. But I have not had time to catch up with the audience or hear from the audience here on The People Show. So I wanted to open up the phone lines today, and let's get right to it. Let's begin with Matt calling in from Waco. Go ahead, Matt.
Owen, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, as far as what this tweet means, I think it's obvious to the people who are paying attention. He pretty much spelled it out, but I think it goes a little further. I think it also means something to the conservative patriots that are serving Congress now, and it also means something to the corporate funded duopoly swamp creatures that are occupying, you know, positions of Congress as well.
This is actually a good angle, Matt. Let's kind of break all this down. So it's basically red meat. It's red meat in a lot of different ways. As you're saying, it's red meat to Trump's base, who want to see Obama and Hillary in jail. It's red meat to conservatives or Republicans on these committees that did all the investigations into the FISA warrants and the FISA abuse and Fast and Furious and Benghazi. It's also red meat to the deep state and the Democrats and the left that, of course, just is totally outraged that a president would ever even think to retweet an image like this. So where do you think, though, that President Trump had all that in mind when he put this out?
He's known about it for a while. I also think the leftist media has known for a while. Their immediate spin on this was to say, here, I'm reading one right now. Trump retweets image of U.S. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein behind bars. Their big angle right now is Rod Rosenstein. And why this is their damage control move, I think that has I think anybody could read into that. That has yet to be seen. I don't think they know what to do. I think Trump has known about it for a while, and I think he's doing that 4D chess move.
All right, Matt, anything else?
No, love InfoWars. Love Owen, Alex, Roger, David Knight, everybody, keep doing what you're doing. Fight the good fight. Thanks for taking my call. God bless.
All right, Matt, thank you so much. All right, Larry calling in from New York City. Go ahead, Larry.
What's going on, Owen? Long-time listener, bro, out of Brooklyn, New York City. Been tweeting you for a while. So what I think is, with Mueller's investigation winding down with no proof of collusion and even less credible witnesses, this is a total offensive move. He's putting everybody on notice, everybody in question, with the key word being treason. With treason. So it's kind of like, hey, chill out, stop your dirty little tricks, or we're going to get you with these thousands of subpoenas. So chill out and just play nice, and everything will be fine. And another thing, Owen, there's an assumption that in here in New York City is this liberal utopia. No, there are a lot of us here that get it. We're outnumbered, but we get it. You know, and sometimes I'll listen to you guys talk, and it's kind of, we're not.
Well, and you guys are hardcore too, because you're right in the belly of the beast, so you have to be hardened.
Yeah, we have to. And trust me, man, I have family members and longtime friends that it's not that I'm like a MAGA hat wearing Trump supporter. I'm just not going to jump on the Trump bashing bandwagon because I'm not going for the low lying fruit just because. You know what I mean? And it's just really scary because right now, you just, we're not, it's just really scary what's going on. But I just think that what Trump is doing is just not just putting people on notice. He's going on offense. And I think that's what has to happen. Because
So you think this is Trump kind of puffing up his chest a little bit and showing everybody who the big man in the room really is?
I think the main thing that he's missing is not using, he's not acting on the social media. Come on, man, you should be on Twitter. There's no reason you're off Twitter. Alex is on Twitter.
You know what? I'm glad that you brought this up, Larry. Actually, I want to pause right there because I'm glad that you brought this up. Let me explain this. It's honestly a multifaceted issue. On a selfish level, I hate social media just in general. I don't like spending time on social media. I don't like putting all my thoughts on a keypad. I don't care. It doesn't really do anything for me. So just in general, I've never really been much of a social media person. But specifically, and that's why I kind of always wanted to go to YouTube and just do a live broadcast. But I'm digressing here. The reason why I don't get on Twitter consciously to engage in the info war like you're suggesting, and you're right, I use Twitter as a communication tool. So basically, because I have a blue check mark and because I have a bunch of followers and because I'm well known on Twitter, I can communicate with people and I can get guests and I can find out who people are. I can find out where events happen. So behind the scenes, while most people never see me tweet because I tweet maybe once a week or so. So people say, okay, well, you don't see me tweeting anything. I must not be active on Twitter. Well, behind the scenes, my Twitter DMs are blowing up. Behind the scenes, I'm communicating with so many different people that you wouldn't even believe it. I'm helping other people organize stuff. So Twitter for me is really a tool of communication. And if I'm tweeting every day and I'm putting out content every day and they censor me and take away my Twitter account, I just lost connection to hundreds of people and potentially thousands more. So I just wanted to explain that, Larry, since you brought that up. But is there anything else, Larry, before we take another call?
Let me tell you, I'm a small fish, total small fish. But sharing the InfoWars content, Mark Dice videos, Paul Joseph Watson videos, I get into it like with major celebrities, like D.L. Hewley, the comedian. He and I go at it. You know, there's radio pundits, urban, quote-unquote, radio shows. We go at it all the time. You guys need to maybe visit New York a little bit more, maybe get some correspondence. Mm. There's a guy, conservative Chris in New York. Because we need to show that, you know, it's not just middle America that feels this way. On the coast, you have people that are awoken, not just woke, which is this post-election term, but, you know. But anyway, love you guys.
No, you're totally right, Larry. That's a good point. That's a good point, Larry. Thank you so much for the call. And again, because Larry's hitting on home issues right here, that's part of InfoWars' expansion goal. I mean, that's why we have reporters like Millie Weaver out there, you know, roving, getting things. That's why we're trying to hire new reporters on the coastlines, and we're trying to expand our live broadcast. Again, the problem is, you know, Alex has a vision to compete with the best of the best. So he doesn't want to just do things kind of half-hearted or willy-nilly just to say, okay, we did it. He wants it to be on totally right. So that means he wants it to be funded. Totally right. So we have to bring in the funds and have a reservoir of funds for an expansion. And he had it built up, and then they sued him 500 times. They took away 500 different ways for him to market InfoWars and InfoWarsStore.com. So we had to scramble and reorganize. But now we're back kind of at square one, if you will, looking for that original expansion plan to come to fruition. But, I mean, it literally is all about your support at InfoWarsStore.com. That is what it comes down to. That's how far we get. All right, let me just take Elena in New York real quick, who's off topic. But we'll squeeze your call in here, Elena. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Owen. It's Elena. I so much wish I could meet Larry. And today, the way I'm connecting to what President Trump is tweeting is these LGBTQ posters for the little kids. 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds. They have LGBTQ in beautiful colors, and then they say what each one is. And I don't have it memorized, but I sent it, InfoWars tip. It's just so stressful. I'm beyond words that I'm working. It's like somebody has to come and protect the innocence of the children.
Well, this is the sexualization and brainwashing of children. And again, I'm not anti-transsexual. If you're an adult and you're transsexual, that's none of my business. Or you're a man and you want to dress like a woman, it's none of my business. Why are the children involved with this? Because look, I've talked to transsexual people. I've met a lot of them that are fans of the show. They tell me what it is. It's a cult. There are people that are transsexual or whatever they're into because that's what they're into, but they're not in the cult. Then there's other people that are in a cult. And when you're in a cult like that, you have to bring everyone else into the cult with you because you never really had your own self-confidence. So the more people you bring in under you, it kind of builds that false confidence up.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Your phone calls here. It's always good to hear from the audience. And we had two callers call in from New York last segment. And Elena was saying, wow, that was such a great call from Larry, a fellow New Yorker. I wish there was some way to link up with him. Infocoms, ladies and gentlemen. The InfoWars Army is one of the projects that I launched. And it's just like, you know, it's one of those things that, thank God, because of you out there taking action and doing your own stunts with sign holds over bridges and all the crazy stuff where you meet up with me and we hold up signs or go downtown and wave flags. We go to ball games and get signs on television for millions to see. At InfoWarsArmy.com, there's a new link, Infocoms. You go to Infocoms, Elena, if you're still listening, go to Infocoms and say, type in a subject line. In fact, there's probably already one there. You could just search on the webpage, New York, or you go and you create a new topic and you say, hey, any fellow InfoWarriors in New York, let's have a meetup. And then other InfoWarriors go on to the InfoWars Army Infocoms. The crew right there is showing it down, showing it right there. New York InfoWars from all New York regions. So the project has already begun. Now, right now, I'll just call it like it is, folks. I mean, I'll tell you what's going on. We're getting about just under six, I think about the average, maybe 600 views per post. So that's nice. It's a start, but Infocoms has a lot more potential than that. So I hope that you will take advantage of Infocoms, a great place to share information, meet like-minded people, and organize your own events, organize your own political activism, organize your own bridge sign hold, organize your own sign hold at a basketball game or a football game or something. One of the info warriors out there, he and his brother Ethan calls in. He drove from Kansas, went to a Denver Broncos game, got a free Alex Jones InfoWars.com banner on Monday Night Football for millions of people to see. And so he's just the type of activist that he does it. He doesn't even need Infocoms. But we've got Infocoms out there to make it easier for you to organize. But Ethan calls in from Kansas. He joins me now. Go ahead, Ethan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call and appreciate the kind words. As far as the tweet from Trump goes, I think it's fantastic. I think all the callers that had their opinion on it earlier are spot on. And segueing into Infocoms, I actually replied to your tweet notifying us of that image, and I had said that it'd be great if you guys could put that up maybe as a PDF on InfoWars to where we can download it and print it off on signs and organize some sort of national or nationwide sign hold or flyer, you know, put up a bunch of flyers of that and get.
Oh my gosh. No. This is actually brilliant. This goes beyond even the image. Oh my gosh, you organize, I've kind of been thinking of this, but you just crystallized it in my head here. You organize a day, so let's say I go on Infocoms and I say, on March 1st, 2019, everyone print out 100 pictures or whatever it is, and then go around your town, your area, and put them on light poles, put them on park benches, put them on street signs, and then in one day, in a 24-hour time span, you get tens of thousands of these signs up in all of these different cities, and you create a national news story. Exactly. That's what I see the future of Infocoms being, right there. We just need to build it up a little bit.
Yes, sir. And I've tried to get some stuff going like that before, and it's great to have the shout-out for that right here, right now, to get people involved in that, because, yes, I think that is the next level of Infocoms, to not only organize to say, hey, I'm in New York, let's meet up, or hey, we're in Kansas, but nationwide, we have the ability to link up, organize, and orchestrate things like these to take it to the next level.
And just imagine, I mean, that is like, you know, Fight Club, V for Vendetta level stuff, like underground information 3D warfare, where you don't even need to link up with a group at that point. You just say, hey, okay, I'm an individual in New York. I'm an individual in Baltimore. I'm an individual in St. Louis, Chicago, Topeka, wherever you may be. And at let's say 10 o'clock p.m. on, you know, March 1st, we're all going to go out and put up hundreds of signs in our local areas. And if you have thousands of people doing that, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a story. It's a story. And then it becomes a trend, and then it gains momentum, and other people want to be part of the trend.
Yes, sir. We really appreciate, everybody really appreciates you guys launching that website, you know, because I just got banned off of Twitter, the whole rules of...
Oh, really? So you were at Distracted Masses. What did they ban you for?
Well, you know, I saw on the feed that they changed the terms and conditions to protect the whole transgender stuff. And, you know, I just threw out a couple lines on some trans-friendly hashtags and got some people to bite and went through the conversations of, you know, how it's tied in with pedophilia as far as taking it to the kids, the public library, and the whole agenda behind it. And less than an hour after they took that line, I was off of Twitter. And the thing is it's not a permanent ban. I just have to accept to delete my tweets, serve a suspension, and get back on. But you know what? I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to take down what I know to be real, what I know to be true. There is only two genders. Like you said, I don't care if you're transgender, but keep it away from the kids. So I'm not going to delete that content. So in effect, I've been permanently banned off of Twitter. So Infocoms becomes a safe haven, and I think that's where I'm going to spend my focus on and try to get this thing going next level with the urban art warfare, taking it organizing it, getting it nationwide as big as we can.
Well, you know, once you take action, it kind of becomes a more than a hobby. You know, it's like, you know, you kind of get a little high off of it. You know,
I mean, it's a hunger. It really is. Yes, you get hungry for more. You want to get out there. You enjoy it. Absolutely.
Well, Ethan, thank you so much for the phone call. And again, he gets censored now on Twitter at Distracted Masses. But we expect that. That's why we created InfoWarsArmy.com. That's why we created Infocoms, so that we can all stay in touch throughout all the censorship. Let's go to Florencio in Connecticut. Go ahead, Florencio. Yes, you're on air.
All right, I got through. Hey, I want to just say God bless you guys and thank you guys for, you know, fighting for us, and we're happy to fight with you guys. As far as the tweet goes, I hope this means that Trump is just taking the gloves off, man. I hope he's making that chess move, and he's ready to knock him out, because I mean, they just disgust me, you know, and it's disgusting. Well,
and here's my thing, Florencio, because look, President Trump is doing great things. And look, I'm going to say things that are, I'm going to say things that don't sound like I support the president in certain instances. I'm not going to think that president does everything right. Of course, I'm going to have disagreements. Otherwise, I'm just a sheeple. But the point is, for me, and I feel most people feel the same way, if we don't do something about these deep state actors now, if we don't do something by these globalist agitators now, if we don't do things by these anti-American occupiers in our government now, if we don't do anything with the soul suckers and the pedophiles and everything that are destroying this culture and this planet now, we'll never have a chance. You know, it's like in Star Wars, I think A New Hope, when Luke Skywalker's going down and the target's getting smaller and he takes away his auto fire. And it's like, okay, I have to fire now. It's like, we have to fire now to blow up the Death Star.
Yes, sir. That is so true. And I'm glad we are firing now, and I'm glad a lot of people are waking up to it now, because there's no going back now. A lot of people, their eyes are wide open. Everyone's under the microscope, you know? And I used to have the Twitter and stuff like that, and I kind of prayed away from that stuff because it takes a lot of my time away. But it is a really good communicating thing. But I fight them without using that. I fight them by buying products from you guys, by sharing information, and by making my chess moves in the background. And I'm hoping that I can spread that to people in Connecticut, because it's a little blurry out here, Owen.
You know, I got to say, Connecticut is one of the places I don't really make it out to. I've been to Hartford once, but other than that, I'm not too informed on what goes on in Connecticut.
Nothing much, just a whole bunch of globalists and taxes, extra taxes, and, you know, everyone wants everything for free. You know, hopefully we could change that here in Connecticut, because it's a really beautiful place, and just like most
the Northeast is really so beautiful. I mean, it's just like, you know, California's just amazing, and they just burn it to the ground. You can't breathe the air. You can't drink the water. There's crap in the streets. There's needles on the streets. They just introduced a new plan in California. Florencio, thank you so much for the call. We're about to go to break here, but thank you so much for the great call. They just introduced a new thing in California. So they've gone beyond in the last 40 seconds. Let's give the crew a challenge. See if you can find this video. They've announced now safe injection sites inside government buildings, and there's a whole station. So you walk in. You're not even going to believe this. You walk in, and there's a hygiene station, and you clean your hands and your face, and then you move on, and there's a whole drug station. They literally will give you the drug. And then you move on to the next station, and you do your drug. And it's a safe injection site, and they're taking it one step further now, where they're going to actually give you the drug you want to get high on. That's California. Wow. Breaking news. Roger Stone is going to join me in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.
Infowars.com/show. Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Stone is disputing some of Corsi's other claims, and he has a lot to say. He joins us now in an exclusive interview to tell us what is going on here. Roger, it's good to see you tonight. I know you watched what Mr. Corsi said on Tucker Carlson's show. A lot of folks watching, you know, they think of the Mueller probe and like nefarious Russian plots. And they hear, you know, Assange's name, the Ecuadorian embassy. They don't know who Jerome Corsi is, and they kind of know who you are. But simplify this for us so our listeners know what they need to know to understand the current state of affairs in this investigation as it pertains to you.
Well, first of all, Laura, thank you for having me, because my own show at InfoWars is so heavily censored to deny me a forum to have a chance to defend myself. I'm very grateful for the chance to be here. This is really simple. It shows what happens when you hotbox a 72-year-old man for 40 hours, as the Mueller interrogators did. Quite clearly, I made it very clear that on August 21st, I posted a tweet that said, "The Podesta's time in the barrel will come." I meant that public scrutiny of the Podesta's Russian business interests, as I had been briefed about by Jerry Corsi, would be in the media. Now Jerry Corsi has been browbeat into claiming that that was some kind of a cover story, and because I was taking heat for that tweet. But that's not even logical, Laura, because my tweet wasn't controversial until 6 weeks later, when Julian Assange published John Podesta's email. So I had no advance notice that his emails would be stolen or that they would be published. And then the secondary claim that I knew about the Billy Bush NBC tape in advance, and that I asked Jerry Corsi to contact Julian Assange to ask Assange to move up or move back his data dump to distract attention from that, that's a fairy tale. That's just whole cloth. I learned about it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like every other American. I was actually on the street in Manhattan.
And so, Roger,
look,
there
just
was no.
It's sad that he's been pressured this way,
Roger,
to bear false witness against
there's
me.
There's no text evidence or email evidence regarding the Billy Bush claim, and nothing definitive about the other claim about advanced knowledge. There's just one email from you to Corsi from July 25th of 2016. We'll just put it up on the screen. Then this is from the draft court papers. Get to, I guess, Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy in London and get the pending WikiLeaks emails. That's what you've referenced several times. And just once again, why doesn't that look bad?
Well, there's an important backstory, because hours before that, I was forwarded an email by James Rosen of Fox that had been sent to me by Charles Ortel, one of the very best researchers and investigators in the country. And Rosen had gotten a tip that the disclosures were going to be about the Clinton Foundation. Like every political reporter in America, I was curious about what Assange had. The bottom line of this, Laura, is very clear. Nothing we've learned in the last 72 hours shows that there was any collusion between the Russian state and Donald Trump's campaign. $20 million and 2 years in, there's still no evidence of any such Russian collusion.
Well, not according to
a witch hunt.
Roger, not according to David Cicilline, who, and this is from today on CNN, who made a contrary claim. Let's watch.
Well, I think, again, this is more evidence of an ongoing conspiracy or collusion between high-ranking Trump campaign officials and WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and the stolen emails. You can see that he's not only directing Jerome Corsi to get information about, or get the copies of the emails or get information about them, he reports back to Roger Stone on August 2nd.
Your response to him, some of it you've covered, but specifically.
When did political gossip become criminalized? Everybody in America wanted to know, after Assange teased these emails on CNN in June and then on Fox in August, what exactly it was that he had.
All right, Roger Stone joins us in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. Here we are, living history. Yesterday, President Trump signals that Robert Mueller's about to be exposed. Today, President Trump tweets out an image of Obama, Podesta, Mueller, Rosenstein, Clinton, Abedin, Holder, Clapper, Comey, and Lynch behind bars. What does it all mean? Meanwhile, my co-host here on the Infowars.com/show War Room, Roger Stone, is one of the biggest stories. He was on Fox News last night with Laura Ingraham. You just saw some of that segment in the last segment. Roger Stone joins us now. He's running around, obviously, taking care of his own business and getting breaking news behind the scenes, but he takes time to join us here in the middle of all the chaos. Roger, I'm just going to give you the platform. What's going on right now in your mind, and what is the latest in Roger Stone's world?
Well, first of all, Owen, I appreciate you doing some relief pitching for me today, because it is indeed a wild day. And I'll be on tonight with Sean Hannity on Fox at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So you can look for that. And hopefully I'll have some voice left by that time. You know, this has really been a wild day. Only minutes ago, I got a phone call from a Washington Post reporter who has gone through every single one of my InfoWars shows in 2016, at least those they can still find online, and found those couple times where I made references to phone calls I had with the president, and then the presidential candidate. Now they're trying to match those phone calls up with significant public developments or tweets of mine to try to make some cockamamie case that I must have told the president about the WikiLeaks disclosures, which, of course, other than the fact they were coming in October, I didn't know anything about. It's amazing how I have said steadfastly that my source, the tipster who told me that whatever it was that Julian Assange had teased on CNN in June of 2016, told me that whatever it was big. It was a bombshell. It was devastating. It would end Hillary's campaign. As he specifically said, Hillary will die when this is released. And I identified that person as Randy Credico, a New York progressive radio talk show host. He denied it steadfastly. Ari Melber would hit this night after night after night. Stone's lying. Credico denies it. Then, of course, I released text messages that proved every single word I was true. Now try to find Credico's name somewhere in the press. Disappeared. Gone. Now it's all Jerry Corsi. Now, I like Jerry Corsi.
Who is a Roger Stone associate Jerry Corsi now. They can't say his name without putting your name in front of it.
Yeah, poor guy's 12 years older than I am. He's written 20 books. I've read 5. But he's now a Roger Stone associate. I almost feel sorry for him. But then someday they're going to call me an Owen Schroyer associate. So I guess it's just part of the cycle.
Don't put that burden on me.
You're going to be big. I know it, kid. You're going to be big. Bigger than me. Bigger than Alex Jones. Bigger than Rush Limbaugh.
I'll be honored if any of those names are considered Owen Schroyer associates at any point in time. But again, Roger, it just goes to show you that what they're doing is they're trying to create this whole narrative and just tear your name and drag it through the mud.
No, I think they're shaking the trees because what they want to find does not exist. I had no advance notice of the source or content of the WikiLeaks disclosures. They want to find me receiving emails from WikiLeaks or Lucifer 2.0 or Jerry Corsi or the GRU or Julian Assange or Randy Credico or somebody and passing it on to Donald Trump. And that simply did not happen. So, for example, the Washington Post says to me, well, according to this government information where they mischaracterized my email, in all honesty, on the 2nd, Jerry Corsi told you that there were disclosures coming from WikiLeaks and that Podesta's, there's some reference to Podesta, like the American people will learn about Podesta, doesn't say anything about his emails, on the 2nd, and then on InfoWars with Alex Jones, you said on August 4th that you had spoken to the president. Well, if I said that on August 4th, then it was true, or at that point, the presidential candidate. Ergo, you must have talked to him about WikiLeaks. No, unfortunately, I didn't. But you must have. But no, I didn't. But you have to have. No, I didn't. Unless you have a recording of the phone call, and which I doubt, but if they do, play it, because I never discussed this matter with the presidential candidate or with the president. Chuck Todd asked me that on Meet the Press. I'm sure Sean Hannity will ask me that tonight.
The answer is still the same. The answer is no. What people don't understand is, first of all, you don't call Donald Trump. He calls you when he wants to talk to you. And when he calls, he does most of the talking and you do most of the listening. And he has an agenda. And usually he gets through it and he moves on. So we never discussed the WikiLeaks matter. It was never on his agenda. But in a stunning act of dishonesty last night, they show my email. Then they show Donald Trump talking about Hillary Clinton's missing emails when he said, Russia, if you're listening, if you have her emails, really, those are apples and oranges. Julian Assange never had Hillary Clinton's missing emails, never said he did, never released them. The question of Hillary's missing emails is an entirely different question. But leave it to Wolf Blitzer, who is one of the most malicious and stupidest people on television, to mix the two to try to confuse his viewers.
Well, and here they are trying to sit here and say, oh my gosh, you know, Roger Stone and Jerry Corsi, or it could be anyone, really. I mean, you're just the targets right now. We're discussing an issue that came to be true. And it's like, so basically, you guys basically just scooped the entire mainstream media, even though they actually had access to Assange. So there's like this other crazy level here, Roger, where they actually got the access to Assange. Assange did interviews on CNN. He did all these other interviews, exclusive stuff with all the other mainstream news outlets. By the way, nobody's investigating their contacts with Assange. But if you talk about Assange or try to reach out to Assange, somehow you're implicated in some Russian collusion that never happened. But beyond that, Roger, all you're doing is saying, hey, look, I think there's a news story coming down the pipeline here. I think Podesta's emails are going to be released. You're just speculating on news. You scoop the entire Western media news faction, even though they had access to Assange and you didn't. And so now they're trying to play it off like, oh, because he scooped us, he must have been in the know. It's kind of like with Trump's election. So here Trump beat all the fake news and the rigged election. So Trump literally beat the fake news and the rigged elections. And so it must have been a crime. So that's what it is to these people. They've been so in control that if you actually beat them or scoop them, they assume it must be a crime. That's like the other day where I said, hey, I think that these 14 seats in the House where a Republican's currently ahead, I think they're all going to be flipped. And then guess what? They all flipped. That's like somebody saying, oh, Schroyer must have been in on the steal. He predicted it. No, we know what we're talking about. We have the news coverage. We are the tip of the spear. So now, Roger, they're just saying, oh, if you accurately cover news and scoop the mainstream Western media, then there must be some sort of crime involved.
Yeah, no, what I'm guilty of is trafficking. Trafficking in political information. And if that's become a crime while I wasn't looking, well, then I'm out of business. Look, this is an absurdity. Jerry Corsi says he remembers telling me and others that John Podesta's emails had been stolen. No, sorry, Jerry, you just never said that to me. Not in writing, not over the phone, not in a text, not in an email. How about never? I never knew that. I'm not sure it would be a crime if he did tell me that, although I don't know how he would have known it. He says today that he deduced it, that he figured it out on his own, that it was simple deduction, but that he had no contact whatsoever with Assange or WikiLeaks. Why then would Jerry say that in October, I knew about the Billy Bush tape in advance, I didn't, and then I called Jerry, who'd already established that he had no contact with WikiLeaks or Assange, and asked him to contact WikiLeaks or an Assange and tell them to move up their dump of data to distract attention. It's a canard, as our friend Rob Dew would say.
Well, and I want to get, let's continue talking about this. We got one more segment with Roger, and then we want to get him off and rested here so that he can focus for other media appearances he has later tonight. But again, the very foundation of all of this is absurd. There was no Russian collusion. WikiLeaks is not Russian. So it's just, there is nothing there.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Roger Stone with us here for one more segment. He is the target of a witch hunt right now. They're trying to destroy him, his character, his family, financially. It's really sick. truly treasonous, in my opinion. And now they think they've got Jerry Corsi pinned to something, so all of a sudden he's a Roger Stone associate every time they mention his name because they want to drag Roger down with him. But again, Roger, just explain where we're at right now, where you think a Corsi plea deal or no plea deal or where you think any of this goes, and for you personally, what it means to you.
Well, obviously, Owen, it's a Roger Stone party. If you're invited, you're indicted. Look, I think this thing is an absurdity. I'm sure the special counsel is very upset because so far, at least, they've been unable to find any violation of law on my part. They refuse to accept the possibility that I just took a solid tip regarding the devastating nature of the WikiLeaks disclosures that they had coming on Hillary. And then I was able to hype that using Twitter, not to aggrandize myself, not to suck up to the Trump campaign, but to drive as much media and voter attention to the disclosures when they came as possible. That's called politics. That's what we do. And we did it successfully. I know Podesta thought that the presidency was in the bag and that he and Tony would be able to steal even more hundreds of millions than they have already stolen. But that was not to be. And what this is really about is the removal of Donald Trump. What's amazing today about the news that both Jerry Corsi and Paul Manafort have joint defense agreements with the president means the president has a full download on the aggressive nature of the prosecutors and the fact that it's Donald J. Trump that they want, not Jerry Corsi, not Roger Stone, not Donald Trump Jr., not Paul Manafort, not Alex Jones. It's Donald Trump they want to remove. And they're desperate to get something on him. They keep going through the Trump Tower meeting again and again. They're right. The Trump Tower meeting is a crime. Arrest the Fusion GPS people who set it up. Arrest the woman and figure out how she got in the country and what kind of visa she was here on. Who gave her that visa? Why, it was someone in the Obama administration. There's the crime. What was it Mick Jagger said? Every cop is a criminal. They are the criminals. They are the ones who sold us out on Uranium One. They are the ones who used the power and the authority and the capability of the state to surveil Donald Trump's campaign and spy on it. They are the ones who subverted the FBI and used it to infiltrate the Trump campaign in the most stunning abuse of domestic political espionage in American history. This makes Watergate look like small potatoes, and therefore we must change the subject. Oh, look over there. It's Russian collusion. It's Donald Trump in bed with the Russian state. No, you got it backwards. Those in bed with Russia merely need to look in the mirror. It's the Podestas. It's the Clintons. Yes, it's Mr. Mueller.
Well, and I have no sympathy for the devil in this case, Roger. And that's why the image retweeted by Trump today is so powerful, because it has the criminals behind bars. I mean, these are the real criminals. The Obama administration, the Podestas, Mueller, Rosenstein, Clapper, Comey, Lynch, Holder. These are the real criminals. This is what we know. And they're trying to distract from all their crimes by pointing the finger at real Americans. Now, Roger, you mentioned earlier, though, how you're not sure how they're finding these videos from 2016 to, you know, quote you from or whatever, because we've been banned from the internet. Media Matters actually has a transcript of everything InfoWars does. So they're probably just going to Media Matters to source that information. At least that's my guess. Before we get you off here, Roger, did you happen to see the former senior Hillary Clinton advisor Philip Raines on the Hill yesterday? Did you happen to catch this one?
I did, and I must say, the Stone on Style 2018 worst dress list has a strong nominee. Show this picture, because this is how Clintonistas dress. You really got to see this to believe it.
Well, and it was Harlan Hill that ran into him and was just trying to talk to him and have a bit of a debate with him that got him all enraged. And so it kind of created a scene. And so a bunch of people came over and saw the pantsless Philip reigns, guys. Do we have those images ready? Roger, this is, I mean, this is a top nominee to me for worst dressed of 2018. All right, we're going to, that image is out there, I swear. It's somewhere out there.
Yes, we have a technical difficulty here. Look, you know, I must say that when you're compiling a list of the best and dressed people in the world, as I do on New Year's Day every year, the best dressed list is really hard to do. It really is. The worst dressed list, on the other hand, is fairly easy to do. And I think we have a front runner in Mr. Reigns. I think he is a strong front runner. It's one thing, I think, to do a show in shorts and a jacket and a tie from your studio, but to do it from a TV studio in public, that's pretty weird, if you ask me.
All right, Roger. Well, the best worst dressed list, which is going to be announced here in just about a month, is always a fun read as well. All right, Roger, go rest your voice. Get some of the lung cleanse from InfoWarsStore.com. Maybe hit that. Maybe hit some of the immune gargle. Rest your voice up. Take some brain force, and we'll catch you on Hannity later tonight. Thanks for joining us, Roger Stone, today. You're very busy and obviously dealing with a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Folks, as I was just talking to Roger about the brain force that Roger loves so much, that's how he's able to work morning, noon, and night. And then the lung cleanse, which is personally great for me. I like hitting the lung cleanse when my voice starts to get a little scratchy. It's not necessarily to help with it, but it definitely relieves it, and it kind of gives you a little ability to vocalize better. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And all InfoWars Life supplements, all InfoWars Life supplements are 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off. That's a Cyber Week special. So that'll last this week, and then it's gone. But in the meantime, you can take advantage of Cyber Week and do some Christmas shopping. What better gift to give your family than the gift of good health, than the gift of clean water, than the gift of emergency food? And by the way, free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points. So when you purchase at InfoWarsStore.com, you get a bonus with Patriot points, and then you can use those to apply to a future purchase for yourself. But go on there, get the Alexa Pure water filter, get the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter, get some emergency food supplies. You're thinking, well, you know, this is heavy stuff. It's probably going to be a big shipping expense. Oh, free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. And you've got 3 days left. This is good till Friday to get your InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie for $10 off with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. When you get your InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie, whether it's the pullover or the zip-up, either one, coupon code WARROOM gets you $10 off your brand-new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie. Go to InfoWarsStore.com during this break, and then when we come back, we're going to be joined by a special guest.
War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Making talk radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Yeah, you got. All right, we're about to be joined by Zachary Clowen, former military whistleblower here at InfoWars, delivering a lot of intel. And we're going to go over some big information with him in the next two segments. But let me kind of lay this out, just some groundwork here before Zach, you know, primps the flowers and trims the leaves and makes the garden look as beautiful as it can be. So the United Nations released this document, Intergovernmental Conference to Adopt the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration. All right, well, let's just pull back for 1 second to explain how we even got to that point. You see, it was inevitable that the world would be globalized with technology, with communication, and with everything. The world was going to be globalized. So corporate elite and political elite merged together to bring in total control and fascism to the global system before all nation states and sovereign states got turned over to the global system, which will be run by AI and algorithms. Now, that's fascism, and they wanted to cement that into history permanently before we made the switch towards globalism, which is just naturally inevitable. Now, I'm going to read from this, and then we're going to bring Zach on to break this down. Intergovernmental conference to adopt the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration. This is in Morocco, Morocco, 10th and 11th of December, 2018, item 10 of the provisional agenda. So they're getting ready for this, originally distributed back in July. Draft outcome document of the conference, note by the President of the General Assembly. In its resolution 72-244, the General Assembly reaffirmed its decision that the Intergovernmental Conference to adopt the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration would result in the adoption of an intergovernmentally negotiated and agreed outcome entitled the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, and that the outcome of the intergovernmental negotiations held pursuant to its resolution 71-280 would be transmitted by the President of the General Assembly to the Intergovernmental Conference for adoption. So here they are admitting to you they have a planned outcome of global migration. I mean, that tells you the whole thing set up. The text of the agreed outcome of the intergovernmental negotiations held pursuant to Resolution 71-280 and led by co-facilitators Juan José Gómez Camacho of Mexico, Jörg Lauber of Switzerland, and it goes on with the dates of when that happened. So Zachary Clowen joins me now. Zach, what is the story here, and what is the UN doing with this plan of regular and orderly migration?
First and foremost, Owen, it's so great to be on with. I really commend your work. I think you've been doing a great job on there, and just really a pleasure to be on. And
well, thank you.
I was talking with Alex earlier, and I'm glad that he connected some of these dots earlier and got me on the show here. If we look to page 3 of that 31-page PDF, we see shared responsibilities. That's the 11th item, the very bottom of the third page. And this is how it reads. It says, shared responsibilities. The Global Compact offers a 360-degree vision of international migration and recognizes that a comprehensive approach is needed to optimize the overall benefits of migration while addressing the risks and challenges for individuals and communities in countries of origin, transit, and destination. No country can address the challenges and opportunities of this global phenomenon on its own. Wow. What we have in this conference, in this resolution, actually, that is really breaking on InfoWars, it's public if you're, I don't know, in the government or if you're in the know, but most of the mainstream media, most of the public doesn't cover these things until they happen, but we're here on InfoWars discovering it right now. And what this document uncovers is a planned conference that is overwhelming. The plan was to take over Europe overwhelmingly by the MENA countries. MENA is an acronym for Middle East and North Africa, followed by some sub-Saharan Africans, and completely overwhelm Europe. All while simultaneously taking over the United States with a mass migration, as we're seeing at the caravan. This is not coincidental. This is not coincidental. And you also have a conference holding up a resolution to be voted on the 10th and 11th in Marrakesh as these two things come to a precipice. The timing tells you everything. This is a mess. They have, what's their hashtag that they're using at the UN for this conference that hasn't been put out yet? Hashtag for migration is their hashtag. They have a countdown clock. They're ready to meet in Marrakesh, but they got big problems. And we can get into that, but that's the breakdown.
Well, and you've got Democrats already, like Barbara Lee, who is calling for the UN at the border, at the southern border. So they're already trying to call for the UN to take over this situation. This is why they called for ICE to be shut down. They want the global unelected government in control of this, not nation states. But kind of just quickly in the final 3 minutes before we get to the next level of this discussion on the other side of this break. So what is really behind the confluence of this mass migration into Europe of millions of people, this mass invasion of the southern border in the United States of America, which is really millions of people over the course of decades, and now the UN saying, oh, these nation states can't handle the migration, we have to step in and do it, and now the Democrats are actually calling for the UN to take control. So what is the end game here, and why does the UN want control of the migration process?
The answer, which is unprecedented, is they all anticipated a Hillary Clinton win, as did a lot of other individuals. But that obviously did not occur, and that threw a wrench into the works. But what we're talking about are generational plans. They're plans that have gone through several administrations throughout the generations. So what we're seeing right now is a flanking of their initial plans. What we're seeing is a second American Revolution, and what we're seeing is a stopping to a tremendous amount of momentum that has been built generationally through diplomatic channels in these countries and others that is coming to a stop. But these things were all planned. They think they could keep it going. But listen, we're not playing here. We're not even going to get into what's going to be going on in the DOJ and the White House. But Trump has reinserted the United States of America as the strongest force in the world, on the planet, and it's evident now. But they're still going through with these things. These things have been planned for generations.
Well, and that's why they have to go through with it. And, you know, let's
What would you do if you're in their shoes? That's my answer.
Well, and exactly. And a lot of people look at the crazed behavior of these Democrats and doubling down on some of these absurd statements. But when you're a class criminal like that, when you're a lifetime criminal, when you know if there's any justice against you, I mean, you know, 300 years ago, your head would be chopped off. Nowadays, you know, you'll probably end up in like a house arrest or something, these people. But the point is that they know what they've done. They know that they're guilty. They know that, you know, there's not good things coming if they're exposed. But I think that if you compare this to a machine, globalism is a very intricate machine. It is not easy to get all the different gears and parts meshing, let alone then to twist the lever and have them actually working. And so here they are. They're thinking Hillary Clinton is the last cog they need to actually start rotating that lever. And instead, Trump comes in, and instead of putting in the cog in the West, he puts in his fist or his thumb and stops the whole process. So now they're still trying to push it through, even though that cog isn't meshing.
And here's the funny thing. As history would have it, as fate would have it, I truly do believe that good will prevail in the end, and it will. And the longest standing treaty we have in this country as a nation is the Moroccan-American Treaty of Friendship. It was a formal relation between Morocco and the U.S. that began in 1777, when Morocco became the first country to recognize American colonies as a nation. And George Washington and his troops took the field, and they made good that they could go through the Strait of Gibraltar, and Morocco recognize them as a country. And that is a treaty that stands to this day. And just a couple days ago, at the World War I Memorial, we have the King of Morocco, the current king, Mohammed VI, sitting front row, chain of command, D-Day. So he's just right of Melania Trump. Why do you think that would be? Showing, symbolizing what the vote would be. Showing, symbolizing the EU. The vote's coming on the 10th and 11th of December, and they are going to be blindsided. Europe doesn't want it. The United States doesn't want it.
All right, let's get into more of this on the other side. We take a break now. A big whistleblower on the phone with us. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Just incredible, because there's so many different angles to this. We have the document that they're about to discuss here in less than a month in Morocco at a UN conference, a General Assembly, where they're basically just laying out the plans for the fascist globalism system to be brought in with all this organized migration to cause destabilization, to cause the clash of cultures, and then say, okay, see, you need to bring the UN in. The Democrats are already calling for the UN to be down at the southern border. Funny, I don't see them saying the UN should go to the Chinese detention centers where women and Muslims get abused for their political beliefs. I don't see them talking about sending the UN to stop Saudi Arabia's bombing of Yemen, which, by the way, maybe we'll get into this with Zach here. A Senate bill to stop that looks like it may pass. But let's focus on this document here real quick, because, Zach, you were talking next level with this. When it comes December 10th and 11th, and they try to bring this thing to fruition, what is going to happen?
Well, I don't think we get to that point, to be quite candid with you. I don't think we get exactly to that point, because I think it gets struck down I think it gets struck down by several European nations, and with Trump being at the helm. Before that, there's a lot of time left in between here and there, because what's going to occur in the next few days when it comes to these server emails being released, indictments being put out, we're going to have a lot more on our plate than just this. But make no mistake, when it comes to Marrakesh in Morocco, where I was born, make no mistake, I got a pretty good feeling that vote gets struck down, because Europe's done with it. Everyone's done with it. America's done with it. You can't have hordes of individuals attacking your country. We can't.
But do these European leaders, I'm sorry to interrupt, but do these European leaders even care? I mean, Merkel's ratings are next to zero. Macron's ratings are in the 20s now. I mean, do they even care?
But again, where are these people coming from? Here's the question. The question is, there's an intermediary. It's not necessarily the Mexican people that are coming to America. These are people from El Salvador, from Honduras, from Guatemala. They're moving through another sovereign state and moving into another sovereign state. So what we're having is a conference in Morocco to understand that the North African countries, Morocco, Algeria, Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, the barrier between sub-Saharan Africa and Europe can be guarded and protected as such. Those countries also have sovereignty. So there needs to be some sort of comprehension on what we're doing as a world, because the flooding of Europe, the flooding of America will cripple the United States, will cripple Europe, and by proxy, cripple Asia and the rest of that Western world. So if we want the economy of the world to fall flat, then we could do it. And if we don't, we shouldn't. But now we are in a very interesting predicament where we must make a decision. But they're doing this all shady. This isn't promoted, this resolution, this idea, this move, this UN.
But isn't that the plan, though? Isn't the plan? I mean, you have to collapse it to build it.
That's what they hope. The hashtag they have on their site is hashtag for migration. And in my opinion, it is the leveling of the Western world. It is the leveling of what we know as today. And it's crazy. And it's their push, and it's generational. I think it's going to be stopped. I don't think it pushed through. But they've drafted it. They're ready to do it. They might get it through. Who knows what they could pull. And what they're pulling right now in Syria, which we could get into, they have a lot to do with it.
Well, and just real quick before we do change lanes, because I think it's important to cover real quick, how come nobody ever mentions China when we talk about
exactly
this migration issue? I mean, China's a huge world power.
They're looking down on us. China, Russia, they're just looking like, okay, we deal with these things. We're the world's police. We do this. We do that. You're right. You're completely right. That part of the world never takes that sort of criticism. Russia is taking some criticism bilaterally through some, you know, weird proxy that's going to be, you know, found out. But China, nobody looks at China. You're completely correct.
It's wild, and they just made Xi the most powerful man in the history of China. You look at China's history, that has dangerous implications. But let's actually shift lanes here. This story is breaking right now. You may have some intel you want to share with us. ISIS to launch false flag chemical attack on Syrian Kurds, and Russian military is watching closely. So you've got the continued attempt to destabilize and force a regime change in Syria with Western news lying about Assad. Then you have a bill that looks like it may pass, stopping the U.S. support of Saudi Arabia's intervention in Yemen. It's quite more than an intervention. But what are your thoughts on that? There's a lot of Republican support for this bill. It looks like there could actually be bipartisan agreements here to stop that. What does that mean, though, for the global picture?
Well, when it comes to Syria, what we have is really troubling, because Syria was on, you know, was essentially Europe South. At a certain time in a certain place, Syria was not this monster that it's been made out to be. But out of RT, they're reporting that the Islamic State terrorists are planning to shell Kurdish-led militias with chemical-filled munitions in Syria, right? And blame it on the Syrians. And obviously the Syrians, the Assad regime is backed by Putin. So in proxy, they're also threatening Russia. You know, it's a problem. These wars have gone on for so long. It started in the Bush administration, obviously, with the Iraq sort of push into Afghanistan and obviously that whole area. We all know the stories, but our attention span is so short that, you know, what could be said in this article that hasn't already been said, you know, times 100? It's obviously military-industrial complex pushing, meddling, and a globalist cabal that is keeping on because they know the writing's on the wall. And they're not playing with some guy that might, maybe could have, maybe should have. No, he's doing it. And he's doing it right now. So they're pulling out all the stops. They're going to attack. They're going to release the false flags. They're going to do everything. They're going to pull the dumps in the economy. They're going to do everything they can because they know the light is coming. It's coming.
All right, we've got 3.5 minutes left. I want to get your take, your prediction, your expertise. What do you think Americans can expect in the next 72 hours?
What I would expect in the next 72 hours is an attack in Syria that will be covered by many different angles, which will obviously be, you know, very interesting.
Now, is this going to be similar to the attack on the government-held area that Western media ignored?
I classify it as a false flag attack. I classify it as a false flag attack because it's going to be... what can I say about that?
Well, they attacked the government-held area, and the Western media ignored it. So they're going to probably, you know, do some false flag, like you're saying, either against Kurds and say, oh, look, Kurds are the victims. We have to give them this land.
There will be an attack somewhere that's in the news, and it would contain chemical attributes, meaning that there's certain proclamations and certain rules in the works that if there's chemical weapons involved, there's a certain SOP of a standard operating procedure that's going to, like, you know, fall in line right after it. So,
right, and then the media uses that to tug at people's heartstrings. But let's talk domestically here, though. What can people expect to see domestically here in America in the next 72 hours?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's going to happen here. What we're going to see is a releasing of information. A lot of things happen overseas in a shuffling of the cards. Where I see things happening are Friday heading into Sunday, in my opinion. This weekend will be very active.
Okay, so you're not expecting any hammers to fall before the end of this week if it comes to indictments or anything?
Yeah, no. The hammers are falling globally, but let me just say this, and, you know, this is like the little cherry that I wasn't going to put in until I was on Alex's show, but I'll put it in right here because I love the show. I'll say this. The reason they have Huma Abedin's information, and who Huma Abedin is, was Hillary Clinton's right hand. She's the person who hired the ISI, backed the Juan brothers, this whole information. But the reason they have Huma Abedin's information is this. Her husband, his name was Anthony Weiner. Everyone remember him? The disgraced congressman? Sexting to a minor? Oh, he got caught in a Chris Hansen sting. But it wasn't Chris Hansen. It was, you know, white hats behind the scenes who dug in through his servers, through all of his servers, found out her information, found out her dealings with Hillary, and now we get to the Awan brothers' information. So because her husband, which on record has, this is already, signed, sealed, and delivered. He's a, I don't know what you call that, sexual predator? I don't know what you call that. You text with a minor, you sex with a minor, whatever. They have the ability to get into your information, and they did. And they found a lot of things. And her wife just happened to be Huma Abedin, who just happens to be Hillary Clinton's right-hand man, lady, excuse me. Wow, could you imagine that?
Final question here as we're about to go to break. Are the Awans cooperating with this investigation?
No, they are not. Huma is not. Hillary is not. Hussein is not. Baradam is not. But guess what? They will.
Okay. So the Cold War goes next level, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Zach.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Decoding enemy transmissions so you get the truth. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Hussein gave a speech yesterday. Let's go to some of these audio bites. So just listen to former President Hussein here Just, you know, as many times as he can, taking a nice jab at America.
Folks who said, you know, three-fist clause and all that stuff, that was identity politics. That's still out there. Maybe that was a little too controversial for Houston, but...
No, but
you know, Jim Crow was identity politics. That's where it started.
So pause right there. So he's you know, he's constantly race baiting, stoking the flames of racism, and then acting like it's conservatives and Republicans that are the ones obsessed with identity politics. Just to give you some context of that. But here's the real whammy.
Part of what's happened is that when people feel their status is being jostled and threatened.
Yeah.
They react. And
he's talking about himself. He's talking about the globalist. Obama's the one whose status has been threatened. The globalists are the ones whose status has been threatened. The deep state at the CIA and the FBI, they're the ones whose status has been shaken. That's why Obama is doing these speeches, and he's not the normal mojo Obama. He's fumbling, bumbling, getting mad. You don't even recognize the guy. All right, go back.
What I would agree with is that the Washington consensus, whatever you want to call it, got a little too comfortable with, you know, they're looking at GDP numbers and they're looking at, you know, the internet, and everything's looking pretty great. And then particularly after the Cold War, Jim, you know, after what you guys engineered, you have this period of great smugness on the part of America.
What?
And American elites thinking, we got this all figured out.
Remember,
there were books coming out, that's the end of history. Yeah. And you know,
the end of history.
Yeah.
Francis Fukuyama.
It came back to bite us. Mm. So, I don't know, was that kind of a long lecture there. I'm sorry.
So here he is talking about America's smugness. But speaking of smugness, let's actually go back to Hussein and let's witness his smugness.
I was extraordinarily proud of the Paris Accords because, look, I know, I know we're an oil country, and we need American energy. And by the way, American energy production.
Which he destroyed.
You wouldn't always know it.
He handicapped.
But, you know, it went up every year I was president. And you know, that whole suddenly America's like the biggest oil producer and the biggest that was me, people. I just want you to
Speaking of smugness, boy, you're pretty smug. and that's total bull.
So like, you know, sometimes you go to Wall Street and folks would be grumbling about anti-business. I said, have you checked where your stocks were when I came into office, where they are now? What are you talking? What are you complaining
they're
about?
They're up like 5,000 points. President Trump actually got Jerome Powell to tamper down the interest rates. And what happened? All, I think 31 or 32 sectors of the Dow, all in the green today. And Obama sits here and he says, I'm the one responsible for the stock market. I'm the one responsible for energy returning. But it's like everybody knows you were the guy that stopped that. Everybody knows you said that America's exceptionalism was dead. Everybody knows that you said those jobs weren't coming back. Everybody knows you said Trump doesn't have a magic wand. And then he says, look at the stock since I was in office. And it's like, yeah, bro, they're up like 30%. But he's so smug. And he's so arrogant, and he's used to the media fawning over him and spinning all of his fake news, that he's going to go up here and tell you all these bold-faced lies and get a nice laugh track behind him and say, oh, I'm responsible for the jobs, I'm responsible for the stocks, I'm responsible for the oil, even though I publicly said I was trying to destroy all of it. Obama, what's that sound? Sounds like the keys to a jail cell. Got some callers on the line here. Sorry for making you wait. If you hold on, I promise I'll get to these callers on the line before I sign off today. But for now, I'm about to be joined by Michael DeBarry. You may know him as Badass Uncle Sam, badassunclesam.com. You can find his videos on his YouTube channel, Michael DeBarry. But, you know, as we deal with the internet censorship, my answer, which I kind of enjoy more anyway, is going out into the 3D world, interacting with people, talking to people, putting up a sign. You know, he's great at this. He brings out a Hillary poster, puts her in a yellow jumpsuit, and he gets a lot of great, you know, videos and audio clips. But so he's already kind of already in the 3D realm. That's his platform in New Orleans, and he gets all this great video. But now they've told him he's not even allowed to do that. So he never even wanted to necessarily be some big social media star. He's old school. He goes on the streets. And now they're telling him he's not even allowed that free speech. So Michael DeBarry, Badass Uncle Sam, joins me now. BadassUncleSam.com. So Michael, break down for my audience exactly what's going on. I kind of laid out what you're normally doing down there in New Orleans. But what led to this decision to ban your right to free speech on the streets in New Orleans?
Okay. Well, before I begin here, let me gotta scratch my throat here. Let me go ahead and get some lung cleanse.
Oh, yes. Definitely hit that lung cleanse. Badass Uncle Sam uses lung cleanse. That's the best plug you can get.
Well, that was great. Okay, good. All right. Let me clarify. For obviously, what was communicated is not that my threatened to be on the streets. My ability to get out to the streets is being threatened. I would love for them to try to keep me off the streets. That would go straight to the Supreme Court. No. This is let me give you a little background on this one, because it leads up to what's happening now. I have basically been living in a reality show since Hurricane Katrina. I was living uptown at a huge house by myself. And so what I did, I started putting up friends that needed help. So I would house them until they could get into their own place. And then I put the feelers out for the Tipitina's Foundation and for musicians. And I housed David and Rosalind. Now, these are some street musicians that have played for 35 years on the streets in New Orleans. They are characters. After they left and moved into their house up in the Bywater, about a year after that, I lost all three of my jobs. I was working in the vacation industry. I was working as a political satirical cartoonist and writer for the New Orleans Levy newspaper. We don't hold anything back. And I had a part-time gig at a bar. So I was flush. But I lost everything. And then I lost the house. Well, lo and behold, I wound up now living with David and Rosalind in their home for the past 6 years. But here's how this reality goes. The best way I can describe Rosalind is she is the Maxine Waters of New Orleans. I'm living with Maxine Waters. And if you think I get into arguments and some out on the street, it's nothing compared to what I go on when I get home. But that's even gotten worse now, because normally I would, you know, obviously my mental health is being affected by that. They were living in a separate section of the house here up until just a few months ago. Now they're turning that part of the house they were living in into an Airbnb. The section of the house I live in is like a loft, so I'm basically like living in a subway station. Anybody that comes in or out, the noise is here. And now that they've moved in here, it's become virtually impossible for me to do my work. I have no privacy. So my deal is I need to get into a place where I can have some privacy so I can continue my work. That's what's in jeopardy not me being out on the street. I just wanted to make that clear.
So I was confused. I got your email right before I went live. So you're saying so there was nothing that said you can't go live from the streets anymore. You're just saying you can't do videos where you live.
Yeah, I'm basically living with no privacy at all right now because I'm living in a loft. So it's like, you know, anything that happens, the kitchen's right here, the front door's right there. They're going, you know, so people going back and forth. My ability to do my videos and have any privacy is gone. So
that just means you got to just go back out on the streets is what that means.
Well, indeed. Yeah, don't have any privacy there either. But that's the basic thing out there. But I got to tell you, thank you so much for having me on. Coming on after Roger Stone and Zach, what an honor. I mean, my God, I can't believe this is happening. And what you did yesterday, you're the way you were just raging on. Oh, and you channel what I get a lot out there on the streets right now. Most people are happy with what Trump is doing. What they don't like is, of course, is the fact lock her up was not a campaign slogan. We're seeing Manafort, Flynn, Roger Stone, Corsi, Alex Jones, you, everybody else get persecuted. But we're not seeing the people that need to be persecuted.
Lock her up. No, I like that. Lock her up was not a slogan. That was a demand.
Yes. And that's it. I mean, this is the frustration, if there's any frustration at all right now. It was the frustration you were blowing out yesterday. That's what I feel on the streets from the people that I speak to. It's what I feel. I mean, we're looking at this. We need to see some justice. This two-tier justice system is what put Trump in office. Having the wall, sure, okay, you know, that was, you build a wall, that's another thing. That was another big promise that we needs to be kept. But more importantly is this, and understanding that we're looking at 50 years of hardcore ingrained corruption. It's going to take a while to dig it out. But what I'm looking at is, and what people are asking, Trump said release the FISA documents, what, 3 months ago? Where are they? Why not just say, I want them on my desk tomorrow by noon and release them? That would throw a monkey wrench in the deep state.
And he obviously has the power to do so.
Why not? I'm hoping that before maybe, you know, it's just timing that they're doing, because obviously a little more, they know more than I do, that before this new Congress takes effect, that they indeed start some investigations and go on the offensive and throw them off. Because once they get in, it's going to be on their part. If we can put them on the defensive before that, it's going to completely throw their whole schedule off. And so that's what I'm hoping is going to happen. But I'm tired of hope. I'm tired of waiting to see it happen. You, me, everybody, we want to see it happen. Because it's got to be done. Otherwise, what? Then it just gets ugly. Because then, because
here's what we know: we understand history and we understand current events. If we don't do something now while we have the window open, it could be closed forever, and we'll never be able to open that window again. And that's the key. All right, badass Uncle Sam, Michael DeBarry. Sorry for bringing you on in the confusion. I'm just an information overload. I didn't read your email full time. Where can people go see your on the street stuff? What's your YouTube channel?
My name, Michael DeBarry, DiBarri, or Google badass Uncle Sam. And if anybody's got any money left after they go ahead and buy all these great products right here that I'm holding up, because I got to tell you, I would not be out on the street, could not be out on the street if I wasn't taking these supplements.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, we're about to go back out to the phone lines. Two men were just arrested. I'm sorry, not arrested. I'm on information overload. I can't even read an email right. I can't even read a tweet right. Oh, my gosh. We just plow through it, folks. We don't have teleprompters. We don't have scripts. We're just raw. Two men were just booted from Grand Central Station in New York. Why? Because they had a banner that said re-elect Trump on it. So this is what they're doing. So banning free speech in the digital realm isn't enough now. They're going to start banning your free speech in the 3D realm. You can't even have a sign that says go Trump. They try to kick us out of a ball game because we have an InfoWars t-shirt on. No. But I want to go back out of the phone lines. We've had people holding. The question was, what do you think about Trump's tweet? He tweets out the image of Obama and Clinton and Holder and Lynch and Aberdeen and Clapper and Podesta and Rosenstein and Mueller all behind bars. People are saying it's just hope porn. I kind of like that. Hope porn, like nothing's going to happen. Or is he really symboling that something is going to happen? We go back out to the phone lines to Marco calling in from Alabama. Go ahead, Marco.
Hey, what's happening, Cuck Flair?
Man, thank you for calling
in. I just
in.
Wanted to say that I did my duty over the holiday weekend and went from Mobile to Milwaukee sticker bombing InfoWars at every liberal stronghold possible. But long story short, you know, there's a part of me, you know, that wants to believe, dude, that Trump is going to want to go down as probably one of the best presidents ever, probably the last elected president ever. But there's also a part of me, dude, that wants to believe, dude, that the man that we saw during the second presidential debate is actually going to show up and complete his campaign promise and actually put Hillary and the Democrats in jail. But in all reality, everyone must realize, dude, that the government is a social construct, a staple that keeps people from killing each other, gets food on our tables with its policies. You know, government keeps people domesticated. And if the faith in government is gone, we'll have absolute lawlessness and societal warfare. I mean, Hillary knows what she's doing, and if Trump goes after her, you know, she'll bring down our whole society because people, you know, if she stands trial, people will individually begin to rise up and our society's rules and laws will be seen for exactly what it is, just control.
Well, I'm kind of a man of the philosophy, justice be done, may the heavens fall. And so, hey, look, because I think you said something, you may not even realize how key it was. President Trump will be the last president ever elected. If he doesn't jail these people, that's just a fact. And that doesn't mean we won't still go to the polls and have the ceremonious, oh, I have the right to vote. That's basically all already ceremonious. The Democrats just stole 16 seats. I mean, so democracy in America, for the most part, is dead. I mean, just like free speech is dead. You say, oh, I still get to vote. We still got Trump in. Oh, I can still, you know, have free speech. No, you don't understand. You rig one election, you just killed democracy in the United States. You silence one person's free speech is dead. So I think you're on something. If this deep state does not get arrested, Trump will be the last president ever elected because they won't allow another election to happen.
I honestly will go to Darwinism, dude, before all that.
Did you say Taoism or Darwinism?
Darwinism, baby. No, I'm 6'4", 280. There isn't too many people, dude, that are going to tell me what to do.
Well, look, the crimes of these people. Look, for example, Mike Espy is the perfect example. When I did a deep dive into Mike Espy's past, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, how is this guy not in jail? I mean, the classic political criminal, pay for play, underground deals, taking gifts, letting companies get away with crimes, all of it on record, a special counsel in the Bill Clinton's administration, and he just ran for a Senate seat.
Everyone has to get ready for, you know, a post-government world. I mean, that's what it's boiling down to, because people want to see these people going to freaking jail, and they're freaking tired of it.
Yeah, something's got to give. There's no doubt. Marco, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Chase the Patriot in California. Go ahead, Chase.
Owen, thanks for taking my call. That's right, Chase the Patriot on YouTube. Hey, get the crew on this while I'm talking, and it's going to all make sense, okay? They got to get on WikiLeaks. They got to get on Hillary's email. And on the word search, all you got to do is type in classified, okay? Now tell them to do that in the fourth email that comes up. Here we go. So I was looking yesterday with Corsi and the Crosshairs, and of course, they're trying to go after the journalist, right? They don't want to talk about the crime. Well, in this email, you can read it if they pull it up. Hillary Clinton is talking about the WikiLeaks dump, and she wants to use the power of the state for a cyber attack on WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. It's all in there in the Wiki, if they look it up right now. And look, the tweet today from Trump,
It's easy to understand. They're going after a man's daughter. They're trying to go after Ivanka, guys. If you go after a man's daughter, it's all done. All guns are going to be blazing. And so he says, okay, maybe Ivanka did something wrong. Maybe she has to step down for a week or two, but I'm going to go full blazing at Hillary and the squad at the same time. And if they can pull up, you're going to read that in like the third paragraph where they're talking about using a cyber attack, the military of the United States, to respond because of her emails.
Well, and you had General McChrystal, who used to bash WikiLeaks, who just came out and bashed Trump because of the border response. Hillary then came out and said she wanted to drone strike Julian Assange.
Yeah, I know. And this is, you see, here's the thing, guys. They're using the state's power, guys. This is the power of our government, our republic, being used. You know, they put their hand on the Bible and say they're supposed to defend against all threats, foreign and domestic. This is the domestic threat. This is the threat, and people need to wake up to it. And if you think about the millions of people that saw President Trump's tweet today, this took it to that next level, because clear as day, he's telling them what the next step has to be. And I made an episode about this on YouTube. You guys can check me out on my page. Thanks for taking my call. What do you think about all this, Owen?
Well, look, obviously the point of history we're in is so incredible, it's almost impossible to put it into words. But there is an aspect, and I'm not saying I support it or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that there's an aspect here that, look, society cannot handle the truth. I mean, let's just put it in layman's terms. They really can't. They really can't. They can't handle the truth about, I mean, where to begin, honestly. The lies of 9/11, the lies of the Gulf of Tonkin, the lies of the assassination of JFK, the lies about human history. I mean, all of it. Just all of it. They can't handle it, let alone finding out, by the way, that guy that you elected 10 years ago, that celebrity, that slick-talking, snake-tongue, fork-tongue liar Obama that you elected 10 years ago, actually, that guy was never who you thought he was. That guy was implanted by an occupying force to our White House. That guy tried to intentionally destroy America. The average citizen that supported Obama and still supports Obama, they will go haywire. They will not know what to do. Their entire reality is going to blow up in their face. But because they committed to it, even they were warned, they saw all the facts. They know who Obama really is. If they don't by now, they don't want to. So they've already committed to the lie. When it all comes out and they can no longer deny it in their own world, surrounded by the peers or whatever, and what are they going to do? So there is an aspect that it's like, look, and again, I'm justice be done, may the heavens fall. But if it comes out, it's already out. But I mean, if there's action taken against the treason by Barack Obama, yes, you're going to have people in this society totally melt down. They belong in mental institutions now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Decoding enemy transmissions
so you get the truth.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
You know, I can't even... The term fake news honestly doesn't even do it justice, folks. Everything these people do is fabricated. Think about the viral photo of the girl that went on Time Magazine and everything. Fabricated, made-up story. Think about the picture of the children in cages. They knew it was from 2014. They blamed it on Trump. The list goes on and on. Folks, for example, when you see CNN and MSNBC interviewing people, you know, at the border or anything like this, that's all fake. That's all staged. When you see CNN doing town halls and they're interviewing people that are former Trump supporters, that's all fake. That's all staged. That's documented. There's a YouTube channel that does this better than anyone else, High Impact Vlogs. This guy goes out, looks at all the panelists CNN brings in for their town halls, finds their social media, finds out that they never liked Trump, and the whole thing was staged. You have to understand, these people are totally fake. They don't come on air every day and think, how am I going to get news across? How am I going to report this news? It's literally all fake. It's, who am I going to bring on that I know is controlled, is going to say what I want? What actor can I get on that's going to say what I want? It's all fake. Every interview they do with, this is just somebody in the caravan. Fake. Every town hall they have. Oh, here's a guy that said he voted for Trump, now hates him. Fake. They are totally committed to being fake. That's their credo. That's their job. And Glenn Greenwald just tweeted this out. Why do attacks on the U.S. media calling it fake news resonate so widely? Because of utterly fabricated and reckless articles like this from Politico by a former CIA officer allowed to write under a pen name, the whole thing is a fraud. This is an award-winning journalist. He knows what he's talking about. It's all a fraud, folks. It's all a fraud. Everything they do. I mean, I don't know how to emphasize this. I don't know how to get this through. Everything these people do is fake. It's all fake. Russian collusion, fake. Trump's a racist, fake. It's all fake. These people are committed to frauds. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I got a bunch of news to get to. I got videos to get to, and I got some callers that I want to try to get to, too. I just... 8-time deportee gets 5 years for illegally re-entering U.S. So now, not only does he come here illegally... Now we have to pay for his food, for his shelter, because now he's just going to go to jail for a couple years. So that's good. So now we're paying for him. This is unbelievable from the Associated Press. I mean, just listen to this. U.S. waived FBI checks on staff at growing teen migrant camp. Now, why is that? Because they're taking in so many people. The border's wide open. All these people are rushing our border. So they don't have time to do the FBI background check. It takes a couple days, perhaps, to do the background check for these. So they don't have time. They have to bring all these people in. And then they have all of these laws that say you have to have one person for every 12 children. And they can't even get that because there's so many people coming in. But listen to this. I'm quoting. The Trump administration has put the safety of thousands of teens at a migrant detention camp at risk by waiving FBI fingerprint checks for their caregivers and short-staffing mental health workers, according to an Associated Press investigation and a new federal watchdog report. Oh, the Trump administration puts them in danger, even though they're the ones that came here illegally. It's their parents that brought them here illegally. I mean, do you see the twisted reality here? The Trump administration put these teens in danger when they're the ones that chose to go on the trip? It goes on. None of the 2,100 staffers at a tent city holding more than 2,300 teens in the remote Texas desert are going through rigorous FBI fingerprint background checks. In addition, the federal government is allowing the nonprofit running the facility, BCF Health and Human Services, to sidestep mental health care requirements. Oh, we have requirements for these people that cross our border illegally. Amazing. Under federal policy, migrant youth shelters genuinely must have one mental health clinician for every 12 kids. But the federal agency's contract with the BCFS allows it to staff Tornillo with just one clinician for every 100 children. That's not enough to provide adequate mental health care, the inspector general office said in the memo. Really? What about the thousands of Americans, the hundreds of thousands that you talk about every day that can't get health care? Now we know why. Because you're bringing in hundreds of thousands of people that you have laws and rules and regulations that say, we have to have one person down here for every 12. There's too many people. We can't sustain it. And so then they say, it's all Trump's fault, even though it's all their fault. Okay. Jeez. You know what? Just roll the video right now of James O'Keefe. This is from 2014. James O'Keefe crossed the border dressed as Osama bin Laden. Let's just flash back just to show you how dangerous it is and how wide open our borders are. Roll clip 6.
What if ISIS wanted to send a terrorist here? How hard would that be? If an ISIS terrorist could get to Canada, could he hire a boat? Could he bring poison or even the Ebola virus? Could he get across Lake Erie and into the United States? Could he do it without getting caught? Last month, we crossed the Rio Grande from Mexico into the United States. Our report changed the national debate. It also seems to have garnered the attention of ISIS. This document obtained by the Breitbart News Network is from the Texas Department of Public Safety. It warns that ISIS is actively encouraging supporters to take advantage of the porous U.S. borders.
All right, so this is Captain Bob Swinney. Captain, where exactly are we?
We're in Lake Erie. I don't know, 10, 15 miles maybe off of the U.S. coast.
Captain, how often do you see Border Patrol? How often are they out here? Do you see them frequently?
No, I've never seen Border Patrol out here. I have seen Coast Guard a time or two.
The Canadian border has become relevant because the British government says American journalist James Foley's ISIS assassin was an Englishman. British intelligence believes more than 500 British citizens have joined ISIS. Brits can enter Canada without a visa. It's virtually an open door. Hiring a small boat to travel from Canada to the middle of Lake Erie could not be easier, and no one seemed to notice the terrorist on board.
Yeah, right there. Get as close as you can.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
My name is Abdul. I was just crossing the border into America.
What are you going to do in America?
Well, as you know, on August 17th, we stole Ebola from a lab in Liberia. We took the bandages and bedsheets, and then we covered themselves and hope that we get infected. The incubation period is about 21 days, and, well, it's been about 21 days.
How did you get here? Did you cross in a boat or something?
Well, I used my British passport to get to Canada, and then, yes, I took a boat.
No Border Patrol stopped you?
Do you see any Border Patrol?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. James O'Keefe crosses the border dressed as Osama bin Laden, crosses the border dressed as a terrorist, and nothing happens. And then the Associated Press says, the Trump administration is putting teens in danger, even though it's the open borders putting all of us in danger, putting the country in danger, putting kids at risk of disease, putting kids at risk of violence. I'm going to take a deep breath and calm down. I just can't. I mean, these people are... These people wake up every day and they just punch us in the face and we don't even do anything about it. But you know what? Just for grins, because this is the man behind it all, George Soros, let's play two clips of George Soros where, again, they say this is fake news. They say this clip doesn't exist. Here's George Soros admitting he was happy to collaborate with the Nazis.
I was adopted by an official of the Minister of Agriculture, whose job was to take over Jewish properties. So I actually went with him, and we took possession of these large estates. That was my identity. So it's a very strange life for him. I was 14 years old at the time.
I was 14 years old. And I would say that that's when my character was made.
That's George Soros, ladies and gentlemen. They say that clip doesn't exist. That's actually two different clips where he talks about working with the Nazis to take Jewish people's properties, take their estates, turn them over to the Nazis. What do you think happened to him then? It's George Soros. That's the clip. I just played the clip. But I suppose that doesn't exist. I suppose I'm fake news, and we should let George Soros fund these migrant caravans to come invade our country, and then they come here with disease. Now I think 20 known terrorists have been arrested in this caravan, and then somehow the Associated Press says Trump's administration is making us unsafe while they want to have a wide open border so that disease and violence can come rushing in. I mean, I don't know how long we can take this.
Infowars.com/show.
So, let me just explain where my head's at right now. I have people on Twitter that are trying to dox me right now, put out my private information, and everybody's sending me these tweets where they're trying to get people to, I guess, show up at my house or whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't even have time. I don't even have time to address the fact that people are trying to dox me. So that's where I'm at. Now, let me do a news blitz here, and then hopefully I can have time for a call. This is an amazing story in Miami Herald that they try to angle towards Trump. But, I mean, it's a fair story. How a future Trump cabinet member gave a serial sex abuser the deal of a lifetime. Really, the truth is, it breaks down how Jeffrey Epstein is basically a convicted pedophile, but cut deals with the FBI and, of course, Robert Mueller. And the, well, let's say conspiracy theory assumption is that basically they cut deals So Epstein is basically an FBI informant. All these people go to Pedophile Island. He then gets the blackmail, sends it back to the FBI. Bing, bang, boom. That's how they assume power. That's a great story in the Miami Herald if you want to check it out. How a future Trump cabinet member gave a serial sex abuser the deal of a lifetime. That's Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, big friends with the Clintons. Ivy League professor. All right, here's just a stack of liberal nonsense. Ivy League professor. Open the border. Let them all in. Princeton University professor Kinga Yamada Taylor says, no human is legal. Open the border. Let them all in. So you can just imagine. Oh, yeah. Also calls Trump racist, sexist, megalomaniac. So that's a nice Princeton professor. Boy, no wonder higher education is now considered a joke. CNN. Woman or womexin? Students adopt inclusive language. So now, this is out of London, they're changing the language. So instead of saying woman, W-O-M-E-N, it's W-O-M-X-N. So it's like, you know, they've got all these things. Now, we want to be inclusive. In fact, Google just is now thinking about censoring the pronouns he and she. It'll just be G or Z. 1984, here we are. Oh, I can't even. New York Magazine. Donald Trump is destroying my marriage. This is from Molly Langmuir. And you go and you read this story. This is just so pathetic. So basically you have these failed feminists who just really hate men. And they just take it all out on Trump. And then they blame it on Trump because their marriage is falling apart. Even though you read this story, I mean, I'm not going to get into it, folks, but it's the exact type of feminist you think. You know, my rape experience, all these men rape, and it's just like, white men this, it's a Trump bad that, and you're just like, how did Trump destroy your marriage? This has nothing to do with the fact that you're unwanted by your own husband now. You're just a bitter woman. Washington Times. Al Gore to host 24-hour climate change special featuring many celebrities. So it doesn't matter that they continue to be wrong. They have no scientific evidence. Al Gore is going to have a 24-hour climate special and probably make millions of dollars off of all the suckers that fall for it. And then there's Bernie Sanders from CNN. These scientists have, this is quoting Bernie, the scientists have told us, despite Trump's absurd thought that this is a hoax, that the future of the planet is at stake? Not, climate change is not a debatable issue in my mind. Well, yeah, it never was. Climate change is a fact. Have you ever heard of the ice ages? How do you think the Grand Canyon formed? You know, rivers go dry, ocean levels change. Yeah, climate change is a real thing, Bernie. We do know that. Look at the Vostok ice core samples. It's not caused by humans, but they don't tell you that. They just say climate change. Man-made global warming, and they just kind of put it all in together, and then the people that are low information don't understand the truth about any of it. Exorcist priest warns of Celine Dion's closing line for kids, definitely satanic. This is the Celine clothing line where she breaks into a children's ward of a hospital, newborn babies, and like sprays some magic dust. And then all the boys become girls and all the girls become boys and there's no gender. Well, the exorcist priest is just saying, hey, look, you know, being an exorcist is a tough job. It's one of the only industries where you don't want business to be booming. So basically, if this more stuff like Celine Dion's doing happens, I'm going to be having to work like all around the clock and I'd rather not be doing exorcisms all day. So that's what's going on there. Stormy Daniels is now turning on Michael Avenatti and says Avenatti is basically stealing all the GoFundMe funds from her. This is actually the biggest GoFundMe hoax of all time. The Stormy Daniels, Christine Blasey Ford, how they raise all this money for their lawyers that apparently were working pro bono. And then the lawyers just keep all the money. And so Avenatti, who's just been, these people are just miserable failures. I'm just going to leave it at that. Why Google is killing off Fresno's mosquitoes. So now Google is trying to kill off all the mosquitoes. What is just this the beginning there in Fresno? Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are we going to have a debate about it? Who knows? Who cares? Let Google do whatever they want. U.S. missionary shot by bow and arrows on remote island may still be alive. This is actually a very intriguing and incredible story to me. The American Christian missionary who goes to the protected tribal people and the Sentinelese killed him. Now they're thinking he may still be alive inside the village. That would just be an amazing story to me if he was still alive, and then that ended up being the connection between the world we live in and that prehistoric world that these people are still living in. That'd be an amazing story to me, so I'm going to be kind of following that. Hawaiian man who suffered heart attack during false alarm missile alert is suing the state. Yeah, remember when they did the false alarm missile alert in Hawaii to try to scare people to hate Donald Trump? Well, that false alarm that was not false, it was an attack against Trump to create headlines. Well, it may come back to bite him because one of the residents suffered a heart attack and he wants to sue. This is from the Daily Wire. Woman with autism euthanized in Belgium. Criminal investigation launched after family demands answers. And then, of course, they came out with the latest numbers. 1 in 40 kids now in the United States are diagnosed with autism. Why is it 80% young boys? Well, because the female blood-brain barrier is thicker than the male blood-brain barrier. So the toxic chemicals in the vaccines are getting into the young boy's brain easier than they get into the young girl's brain. That's why most of people diagnosed with autism are boys. But it has nothing to do with the vaccine, so don't even say that. Okay, I've got time to take one more call, so I'm going to take Bill in Kentucky. I'm sorry to the rest of the callers. We'll get you on again, I promise. But let's go to Bill. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks, Owen, for having me on. I contacted you back a few months back, and we discussed breaking all this down to the basics, and I think it still applies at this point in time. You know, everything is manipulation, intimidation, and domination. And if we don't allow the people to be manipulated and we push back against the intimidation, then they can't dominate. It's a real simple formula.
Well, let's apply this to what we're seeing here. They can't dominate they can, but like it's a lot easier to just make everything digital. They can just control it with an algorithm, control it with a click of a button. It's a lot harder to control actual human interaction in the 3D physical realm.
And that's why, as you said, and we're definitely all on the same camp about Mr. Trump, President Trump, getting something going about censoring these people back and pushing back on them. The other thing I'd like to say is, I'm a disabled person. I'm on disability, Social Security. I get $1,086 a month, and I buy products from you guys religiously, and it takes a good little chunk of my money to do so. To the point that my grandkids probably aren't going to have a Christmas because of it, but I almost have to have the stuff to live. And I want to challenge everybody out there that's in a better position to do so to belly up to the bar. There's people out there, and I know it, that are within the InfoWars family that have a lot more disposable income. If you try these products, you'll be hooked because they're great. We do the bodies. The nascent iodine is fantastic. The red pill. My wife is a school bus driver, and she has two jobs trying to keep us afloat.
Well, God bless you and your wife, Bill. I mean, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you guys. God bless your family. God bless your grandchildren, your children, and just Godspeed to you, Bill. Thank you so much for calling in today and finishing out the show. And, folks, you know, we try to make it easy. I mean, we're selling you these great products at ridiculously low prices. And right now it's the Cyber Week special. So it's 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements, free shipping store-wide, and double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. Do not forget about InfoWarsStore.com. Do not forget about InfoWars.com/show. Wow. Another loaded 3-hour transmission. I shut it down until tomorrow at 3 p.m. with Roger Stone. This has been The War Room at InfoWars.com/show. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.